learned a lot about science in this one.
Yeah. A tree grows in Brooklyn and it also helped solve a murder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for you, trees.
Trees are awesome.
Trees
we
are
have
awesome.
To stop killing
I
them.
Hi, Jillian Bensavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam. Two things. Join us in the Facebook group. We're having so much fun over there. We are doing watch parties now from time to time.
Yes.
And that's for everybody. It's all based in the Facebook group, and anyone who's in the Facebook group can do it. You don't have to be on Patreon. But you should join Patreon as well, because we've got over 400 full ad-free bonus episodes, and we're doing a whole bunch of special events every month, including drag bingo,
yep.
Patreon happy hour hangouts.
Yep.
We are bringing in a magician and doing that, like a virtual magic show. That was my idea.
Yeah. I know it was.
I was very excited about it.
I'm excited. Pick a card, any card.
I wanted to get Neil Patrick Harris. He wasn't available.
No, he's busy. No, but there are like ad-free versions of these episodes,
yes.
Right? And then we also do our series. So we're doing both seasons in Natalia Grace.
Yes.
We did Lost Woman of Highway 20, which is absolutely excellent.
The Mother God cult one.
The Cult of Mother God. We're doing Twin Flames. We're doing Still Missing Morgan. We're doing
yes.
tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just...
Yeah.
No, there's so much stuff over there. It's truecrimeobsessed.com. Click on the Patreon link or patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, girl?
So, hey, everyone. Surprise. This is one of our bonus episodes.
Yes.
So, it's an episode of 48 Hours, and it's called The Tree That Helped Solve a Murder. And I have to tell you, that's exactly what happens.
That's
it's not just a cover name.
That's
it's exactly what happens.
At the time that Munchie G disappeared, she was a young, married mother. She had a child who was 1 year old.
You saved me, baby.
I think it's easy to see that Joe would have been attracted to Munchie for her personality in terms of how caring she was.
We all know that she's a very successful young engineer, and she's really good at being a mom, and she had hopes for a brighter future in this marriage in Joseph Ellich.
At first blush, Facebook postings, you know, Instagram, you would see what appeared to be a happy family.
These young people got married, had a child, and circumstances changed, and arguments happened.
I would have loved nothing more for her to just appear out of nowhere alive so she could take care of her daughter. But I knew that wasn't going to be the case.
We open in Columbia, Missouri, October 10th, 2019. We're seeing police body cam footage.
This is a 10-minute coming up on.
I know. So I got tricked into taking notes on the coming up on. Did you not?
Because I've been burned before by 48 hours. I wait until I hear the boom, boom, boom.
I know.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'll go back.
Yeah.
So we're at the home of Joe Eldridge and his wife, Munchie G.
Yes. And like, we are just seeing like the cops like showing up to a missing persons call.
Yep.
To not even 911, but to 311.
We'll get into
and
that.
Joe is not nervous. Joe is not, he's not really wondering where his wife is. He's a little put out to be talking to the cops.
A little annoyed.
He does not seem real anxious to find her.
No. Basically, it's like a super young couple. Everything was happy on social media, but of course, everything was awful in real life.
Yes.
So Peter Van Zandt is our host.
Right.
Welcome.
Peter Van Zandt tells us,
on October 15th, 2019, Joseph Ellich walked into the Columbia, Missouri Police Department without a lawyer. To tell detectives about the mysterious disappearance of his 28-year-old wife, Munchie G, 6 days earlier.
Without a lawyer.
Without a lawyer.
Stay stupid.
Okay. So he's there to report his missing wife, Munchie G. She's been missing for 6 days. To which I say, what the hell took you so long?
Right. I mean, that in and of itself is such a red flag.
Like, how do you even, without a lawyer, but keep doing this every time, but to walk in and be like, hi, I'm here to really casually report my
yes.
wife missing. Thank you, sir. How long has she been missing? 6 days. How does that even come out of your mouth?
And it's like, what do the cops say back to that? I feel like you just didn't. You stand there and stare at the person.
They try not to react in a giddy manner.
Totally.
They try to be like, really? Like,
and no lawyer, you say.
Yeah, we find this boring too. Why don't you come this way and
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
have a totally normal conversation that
totally.
Won't end with you going to prison.
Nah, there's no chance.
Sir, right this way. Can we offer you some water? And they're just looking.
Can we offer you a polygraph?
Doing that look to each other.
Totally.
No lawyer. I know. Wait, no lawyer.
I know.
Get Cheryl in here. Get Cheryl in the window that he can't
Cheryl
see in, but she can see
Cheryl always loves it when they come in without an attorney. She
Cheryl,
can never believe it.
No lawyer. I know. Get Linda, too. Okay. You guys ready? No lawyer.
Oh, my God.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. Well, Joseph sets to work right away describing his wife as tense and withdrawn the night before she disappeared. Six days ago. How do you even remember, Joe?
But apparently they didn't have any big fights, which is another major red flag. And I will die on that hill. If you're not fighting in your relationship in some way,
exactly.
If you walk in and you're like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's all puppies and rainbows. Then something is amiss there.
No, we learned.
The 23-year-old described his wife as tense and withdrawn the night before she disappeared. So he gave her a massage.
I was doing it kind of slow. I was trying to drag it out because I wanted to extend the amount of time that we were together doing something.
According to Joe, Meng Shi eventually went to sleep, saying she had to be somewhere in the morning.
Meng Shi was really tense, and me, husband of the year,
by the way.
Like, shut up.
But he says he was, like, trying to extend the amount of time that they were close together. He's trying to make her sound like a distant, cold...
Like a cold, frigid bitch.
Exactly.
And she's not. She's actually a brilliant genius.
Yes.
So Meng Shi goes to sleep, and she has to be somewhere in the morning. But according to the stupid idiot husband, she is refusing to tell her husband who, why, when, where, what, whatever.
Yeah, like, who she's going to see in the morning.
And why she needs to go to bed, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well... Once I get to know you, Joe, I understand why she fucking hated you.
Totally.
You're a horrible person.
Yes, yes. And Joe says he wakes up the next morning and she's gone.
Yeah, but she left her phone, her keys, and her little baby daughter.
Exactly.
She would never do any of this.
I don't care what anybody says. No one's leaving their kid like that.
Well, the prosecutor agrees with you because he's like, there are red flags immediately in this case.
Well, because especially, I mean, the little kid especially, but especially the car. So wherever she went on foot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she, like, literally walked out of her...
Okay.
Right. Travel down the road and back again. Girl, Built is a new sponsor. You know how you get points and rewards for everything except paying your rent? Like, paying your rent feels like you're just throwing money away?
Yeah.
Not anymore, girl.
Yeah, so Built is this loyalty program that rewards you for paying your rent. It's amazing.
Yeah, here's how it works. They mail the check for you. It's kind of like having a personal rent-paying assistant. Every month, pay your rent and watch the Built points roll in. Why wouldn't you do this?
Yeah, so you could use these points to go on a dream vacation. Like, you can use the points towards a flight or a hotel stay. They partner with over 500 airlines and over 700,000 hotels and properties. So, like, you have options here.
700,000 hotels and properties. Okay, fine, Built. Fam, you can also use your points to book fitness and studio classes. You can use your points towards future rent payments or towards a future down payment on a house. Like, where has this been all my life?
Yeah, all you have to do, you're paying your rent hassle-free through the Built Rewards app, and then you're just getting cool things back for it. It kind of sounds like a no-brainer.
I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
Even the points guy loves it. You know the points guy?
Yeah, really?
Built points have been consistently ranked the highest value point currency by the points guy and Bankrate. The points guy knows what's up.
All right, then. So, fam, earn points by paying rent right now when you go to joinbuilt.com/TCO.
That's joinbuilt.com/TCO. And make sure you use our URL so they know we sent you. So it's joinbuilt.com/TCO to start earning points with your rent payments today.
Just go do it, fam. Otherwise, you're just throwing your money away.
I mean, you can go on a vacation. Have fun.
I know.
Meng Shi had a journal, and she had a journal on her computer.
Joe told investigators that after his wife disappeared, he found journal entries on her computer, where she'd written about an online emotional affair she was having with a man living in China.
And then last paragraph said, like, it's sad, though, that I have no interest in my husband.
And she was writing about this online affair that she was having.
Here's my question. Is this real? We never really get to the bottom of, like, if this is a real journal or if Joe faked this journal.
Well, I didn't know that either, but we see, like, an original version of it written in Chinese.
Yes.
And then we see the translation. So I don't really, we know that Joe doesn't speak Chinese.
Yep.
So if she was writing these feelings, and again, like, I understand why she's looking for a way out, or at least fantasizing about this emotional affair that she's having.
Yes.
Because Joe is making her life miserable and this person is nice to her and understands her. So if she's having this little online fantasy, I get it.
I'm sorry. Is it out of bounds to describe Joe physically a little bit?
If you want to.
He's this teeny meek looking guy. And you just, like, I think that works in his favor a little bit because he truly is a monster. sure, but he doesn't look like it.
Yeah, he just looks like, he just is a loser.
Yeah, and he, like we see all these pictures of them, like, going out hiking, like, and you see, he seems, in the beginning of this, like, he's a sweet hippie who got this beautiful woman to like him and, like, have a baby with him, and you're kind of like, nerd loser makes good, you know?
Yeah. But, like, not all nerds,
no,
too.
No, listen, just, I love a nerd. I told you on paper, like, to look at this guy, I would definitely swipe right, whichever one is the one
whatever
where you like
is
them.
The one,
you know what I mean?
But about Mungshi's journal, too, she says, I have no interest in my husband, but she also talks about her mother-in-law, because, of course, I paused it.
Oh, you
did? A screenshot of the journal. And we'll meet the mother-in-law in a little bit. But she says, she came over and, quote, the food was a bit flat, but it was okay. And I was like, oh, they are totally the unseasoned white people.
Totally.
They have no seasoning in their house.
No. No, because we're going to learn that Mungshi's mom at one point is making dumplings for Joe. Like, you know, these are people who cook.
Like,
they cook that, like, delicious, authentic Chinese food.
Right.
And, like, you, I'm sorry, but, like, white people cannot compete with that.
No.
There's
and so the food was a
give me a Caesar salad any day of the week.
Fine.
But, like, I mean, amazingly seasoned, authentic Chinese food.
Give
what
me
are we going to do?
Like, please. You know? It's amazing and you should be so lucky. But the food was a bit flat, but it was okay. She's like just trying to get through
and
it.
And she's just nice. She's just being so nice. My God.
So Joe tells the cops and the local news.
The day Joe spoke with detectives, he also did an exclusive interview with our local CBS affiliate, KRCG, and implied that his wife may have left him for another man.
I hope that she's just at least with somebody who cares for her, you know, enough to keep her safe.
It's all bullshit. And it's like, who, what idiot loser killer let me go to the news.
So many of them. But with the attitude of just like, oh, you know what? We had a good run, but she's happier now. Wouldn't you at least be devastated?
I know. And like the thing
she left her kid?
I was just going to say, like, the prosecutor in the end makes really good points about what this kid is going to grow up to, like, know about her dad.
Yeah.
One of them being that, like, he's totally fine with her thinking that her mother just abandoned her.
Right.
She's 1 year old.
Yeah, she left. So this guy is so great.
And
he might be great, but she left her phone, her purse, and her daughter behind, like, left like a thief in the middle of the night. I don't think so.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. And now we meet attorney Scott Rosenblum, who Joe and his family hire to defend Joe or, like, be his attorney or whatever.
Yeah.
He wants to point out that there were very intimate texts between Mungshi and the man she was communicating with in China. He says they were very, very sexual. And he said, for example, one of them said, I want you so much right now. This person has never texted with a gay person.
No, no. Or anyone that there's any little spark of anything
there.
No,
I know. I want you so much right now.
We're just getting started with the I want you so much right now. But yeah, but some of them were like, I can't stop thinking about you. Like, there was a very strong connection here.
Because what they're trying to plant is that, like, she ran off to be with him. That's what Joe wants us to believe is where she's gone.
Right. So Mungshi was born in China, and that's where this other guy lived too, apparently.
Yes.
And we learned that she was born during China's, quote, one-child policy.
Yeah.
And her parents were like, yeah, you know what? We only wanted one child, so that works out great for us.
And they say we only wanted one so we could devote all of our love and time and attention to this one kid.
Right. So we meet these two awesome women, Amy Saliday, who is Mungshi's family's lawyer.
Yes.
And Yao Li, who's the assistant prosecutor. She is also a Chinese immigrant, and she helped facilitate the communication with Mungshi's family.
She's like an interpreter, and she's got the really emotional labor job of like being the one who has to, like, translate everything, the good news, the bad news, the sad news, the scary news for the family, between, like, the family and the attorneys.
Yeah, because for no pun intended, she speaks every language.
Yes.
She speaks the legal language. She speaks the language of the experience of being a Chinese immigrant. Like, and she also can speak English and Chinese. So she's doing amazing work.
And Yao Li is the one that's telling us that her family, her parents were so proud of her.
They are really, really proud of her. And I know how hard it is to get into a top university in Shanghai and Beijing. The competition, it is really intense. And she did that.
The competition was, like, really intense, but she did it. And then she comes to the University of Missouri in 2012, where she not only finished her undergrad, but also got her master's degree
in what?
Wait for
in
it,
what?
Mechanical and aerospace engineering. I went mechanical and aerospace engineering. You say, what? Why choose?
Yeah.
Why choose?
Most people are like, they use the word, oh, she's brilliant. Oh, she's a genius. She's a brilliant genius.
Yeah, she's a brilliant genius.
She's both of those things.
And
right?
You see pictures of her, and she's, like, so young and whatever. I'm like, how does one person's brain have all of that knowledge?
And to know that that's what you want to do.
Totally.
Like, right, and you happen to be good at your passion. It's just amazing, right?
Aerospace engineering. Tell me more.
I can't.
What do you think they do?
I can't.
Do they build satellites and stuff?
Aerospace engineering. I'm thinking it's going up. They're going up in the sky.
They're definitely
going up in the sky somehow, some way. So Mungshi was hired
What on earth do they do?
They don't. It's not on Earth, I don't think. I think that's the whole point.
What on earth are we doing here?
I'm not doing any of it. It's in the more trustworthy hands than
mine. To the auditorium down the hall where I was majoring in musical theater, yeah. Jillian. I didn't even get into the program. I wasn't even majoring. I was too dumb to get accepted to that.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it's not a dumb thing. Okay. There are plenty of dumb people who do musical theater, believe me.
It's a lack of talent thing. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Well, you know, I've tried to help you out there.
You know, you were softening the blow.
I was. Just a little bit. Mungshi was hired right out of college because, of course, she was.
Yeah.
Because she's a brilliant genius. And that's where she met her husband, who was also an engineer, and Mungshi was his supervisor.
Yeah. So now we learn about Joe. Joe grew up in Kansas City. He came to the University of Missouri, where he studied engineering, meets Mungshi at Nanova, which is the name of the company they both work at.
Yeah, they fell in love. They dated for like a year and 7 months. They got married. And I'm like, wow, they moved pretty fast. Here's why.
Yeah.
Mungshi's visa was about to expire.
It's a really foreign concept for American citizens to understand the stress that an immigrant is facing. She's fully capable to support herself financially, but she cannot get this green card. So this really changes the power dynamics of a marriage.
She cannot get this green card, so this really changes the power dynamics of a marriage.
Right.
And she's right. That is very hard for us to conceptualize.
Right. And it makes this situation so much sadder, but it sheds light on it at the same time because Mungshi was totally isolated from everybody. And she's like the breadwinner, but she's also like all the pressures on her to get this visa.
Yeah. Well, then what happens, they say nearly 5 months into the marriage, Mungshi was offered a big job at the company, but at the same time, she finds out she's pregnant. And they say Mungshi and Joe decided that she should turn down the job.
I don't think so. Who decided? Yeah.
So that she could stay home and be a full-time mom, even though she was the sole income earner. To which I said, was Joe not getting paid for his job?
So I guess they had like a ton of savings that they were just living off of for the foreseeable.
But this is like the first time that we really see how truly threatened Joe is by how smart and successful she is. She gets pregnant, and I'm assuming he like makes her quit her job to stay home and raise the kid. Now, my question here is, once you're pregnant with an American person's kid, what's the green card situation then? Do you still like get deported and you can't have like, I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works either.
You know?
So she was really isolated from everyone.
Yes.
But she would talk to her mother every single day. And her mother still lived in China. Both of her parents lived in China. And they never missed that call.
It was their ritual. So when Mungshi didn't call on October 9th, 2019, her parents sent a friend living nearby to check on her.
Her parents immediately send a friend to check on her because this is one of those situations like she would never miss that call. She's at home.
Yep.
She's not at work. Like why is she missing the call?
And this is October 9th, 2019. And so apparently Mungshi's parents have a friend who lives nearby where Joe and Mungshi live. The parents send the guy over to the house and Joe tells this guy that Mungshi hadn't been there for a couple of days.
And I'm like, but I thought she had her daily phone call with her mom.
Right. So like maybe the parents let the daily phone call slide for a couple of days.
Either way, they were on top of it pretty quickly, I would say, right?
Yes. But it's only after this friend visits and Joe tells him that Mungshi's not there that he becomes like, that he decides to call and report her missing.
Because people came looking for her.
Exactly.
Obviously they would, right?
And he doesn't call 911. He calls the non-emergency 311.
And everyone finds this very suspicious.
I'm like, stay stupid. Like, aren't you going to at least pretend like you're fucking worried? Like,
no.
If you did this, aren't you going to pretend like you're worried about your missing wife?
No, because would you like to know what Joe was doing, according to Joe, the day Mungshi went missing?
This is horrifying.
So this is what Joe would like you to believe. Oh, Joe wakes up. I almost hit my headphones off my head.
Yeah. He's probably wearing one of those sleeping caps.
Yeah,
you know. Real long.
Bonnets are very good for sleeping. If you have
Is
long,
that right?
Of course.
Why?
Because they help protect your hair.
Oh.
You should be sleeping with a bonnet and a silk
Should I get case. One of those, like, what's the Rumpelstiltskin sleeping caps?
You don't need them that long because your hair's not that long.
Oh. So you're supposed to put your hair inside the cap?
You put a bonnet on and then you sleep on your silk pillow. Am I wrong? Am I alone here?
You put your bonnet on and then you sleep on your silk pillow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 200 years ago, they were sleeping on sticks in the woods, Jillian.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've really gotten it together.
Have you ever seen that TikTok? TikTok where someone will just go up to their dog and just like,
yes.
Do you know that you used to have to fight for every meal you ever had?
And they're all like snuggled up in the bed under like right. under the covers.
Exactly. So here's what Joe would like you to believe. Wakes up. Oh, what a gorgeous morning.
Yep.
Oh, my wife is missing. You know what I'm going to do?
Joe would tell police that the day he woke up and found his wife missing, he went on two long leisurely drives in her car with their baby in the back seat, looking for new hiking trails. That raised eyebrows.
I'm going to put my kid in the backseat.
Yeah, I'm going to take her with me, and everything is totally fine.
Yeah,
wife,
yeah.
Schmeif, the fire burning in me right now. I need two new hiking trails, and I need them now.
Like yesterday.
Like yesterday.
I need them yesterday.
Joe.
I know.
So the lawyer's like, naturally, that raised eyebrows. Yeah. So now, remember, we're in. Joe is sitting with the cops without a lawyer.
Yes.
The cops ask him a great question. They ask him, so when you went hiking or whatever you did you lock the door when you left?
Uh-huh.
Seemingly super casual, right? And Joe's like, yeah, sure I did. And the cops are like, cool, so how was Monkshee supposed to get back in the house?
Exactly. I know. I know. It's like these idiots who are throwing their debt, like their missing wives' clothes away a week later, you know?
Ordering porn or whatever. Yeah. They're like, so you locked the house, you had our keys and everything. Like, what was the plan for that?
Exactly.
And Joe's like, I don't know. I didn't have a plan. And they were like, perfect.
Well, and we see that interview moment and he's like, oh shit, I shouldn't have answered that so quickly.
Right.
Obviously, just like drive the point home. Everyone suspects foul play, but they want to be clear that there's no physical evidence that a crime has been committed. There's no blood. There's no weapon. There's no witnesses. There's no body.
Right.
But there's also no evidence, obviously, that Monkshee took off to be with this man in China.
Exactly.
Like, she was a great mom.
Exactly. Travel down the road back again. This episode is brought to you by IQBar.
I'm obsessed. They shipped us a box about 4 days ago, and I'm almost completely through it. It's my go-to breakfast or like right after the gym snack because the protein bars are delicious. They're not overly sweet. There's a huge variety, and they're super filling.
Yeah.
Fam, start each day the way I do with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and the mushroom coffees.
Yeah. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. So get 7 IQ Bar flavors, 4 IQ Mix flavors, and 4 IQ Joe flavors.
And today, our listeners get an exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping. Just text TCO to 64,000. Do it. See what happens. TCO to 64,000.
64,000.
And get this, all IQ Bar products are entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, and their plant protein bars are packed with high quality ingredients to keep you physically and mentally fit. So the bars are vegan, they're gluten free, they're low in sugar and carbs. They have every flavor you can think of. Chocolate sea salt, peanut butter chip, wild berry.
Fam, IQ Bar makes the number one brain and body nutrition bar, hydration mix, and instant coffee in the U.S. Over 10,000 five-star reviews and counting.
Yeah, so refuel smarter with IQ Bar's ultimate sampler pack. That's 7 IQ Bars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks.
And now, fam, our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping.
To get your 20% off, just text TCO to 64,000 and get your discount.
Text TCO to 64,000.
That's TCO to 64,000.
And we got to tell you, message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
That's right. And then Joe, the hits just keep on coming.
I know.
Amazing work all around. Joe, without a lawyer, hands his phone over to the police.
Yes.
And do you know what they find?
They found 10 hours of secretly recorded conversations with his wife.
Yeah, that he recorded.
He's laughing, telling her he wants to end the relationship. It's been terrible. I don't like living with you.
It's been a terrible relationship. I'm eager to end it.
He was asking her whether or not she was going to basically cooperate. And if not, he was going to tell the judge that she had been abusive to him.
Should I mention in court that you're abusive to me? Should I ask them to deport you?
Well, if you don't agree with the divorce,
yeah.
I'm going to tell the court that you're abusive. And I'm like, right, but Monkshee has to want out of this too.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, but what about the fucking visa? He's using this all against her.
Of course. But then they also find 4 hours of secretly recorded conversation on Monkshee's phone.
Right.
They're secretly recording each other. This would never occur to me.
And he only records himself when he... And his recordings are awful.
Yes.
But it's only when he's threatening her with abuse. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But hers, like her recordings are all threats. Him saying like, if you keep acting this way, it ain't going to be pretty.
Yes.
Do you want me to hurt somebody?
I know.
So here's how I think it was never great.
Yeah.
But here's the turning point of like how this relationship went from bad to worse.
Yes.
Mengxi gave birth to their daughter, and they're really protective of their daughter. We don't know her name.
Nope.
We never see a picture of her. That's why I'm referring to her.
We see photos of the faces blurred out.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying like their daughter or their little baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So 48 Hours tells us that it's a Chinese custom that the grandparents come and stay with you for 100 days after you have a baby.
Can we talk about this for a minute?
Yeah.
If Steve's parents came to stay with us for 100 days after Daisy came to us, I would have moved out.
That's a nightmare.
I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but like it's unreasonable.
Yeah.
Especially now, like we see their apartment. It's not very big. Two other people. Now the baby is, I mean, I appreciate the help. I was very grateful. Steve's brother and sister lived down the block from us when Daisy came to us, and they were so helpful and we were so grateful. But like staying for 100, now, Joe is a piece of shit, monster, asshole, nightmare. He handles this all the wrong way.
Of course.
But 100 days is too much.
It's a long time. Yeah. Well, and I looked it up. So the 100-day milestone for a baby is like a really big deal in Chinese culture.
It's,
I don't think there is, in my research, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I found that like the staying for 100 days isn't that big of a, that's not like set in stone anymore, but like 100-day parties are a major deal.
I'm not trying to shit on anybody's culture, obviously. If it works for you, it works for you, but I would be very hesitant.
100 days is a lot for the first 100 days.
I mean, that's crazy. They also, the parents,
what, like, are you the president?
Right. They live in China, so they're probably like, we're not gonna be able to get back over here all that often. We'll stay for a long time. I'm saying just get a hotel or an Airbnb or something.
Now, this doesn't infuriate Joe for the reasons that it would anyone being like, you're kind of in my space.
Yes.
What really infuriated Joe was that Mengxi was standing up to him and saying that she needed her mother.
I don't like that woman. I don't think you should either.
And Yao Li says Joe really despised it when Mengxi and her mother, Kay Ren, spoke Chinese in his presence.
He doesn't want Mengxi to have any allies.
Exactly.
Like, he knows that her mother is helping her see the truth. Mengxi herself kind of knows it. And he hates that they're speaking Chinese. Now, to your point, that can feel very isolating. However, this doesn't apply to Joe because he's a jerk and a murderer.
Right.
And I know he wasn't making them feel welcome.
But also, Mengxi's mother doesn't speak English. That's why Yao Li is here, because she had to translate everything for the mom. Like, it's like, Joe, everyone is just doing the best they can.
Joe.
You know what I mean?
And you think you're helping? I don't think he's helping with the baby either.
No.
So
exactly.
And Mengxi, and like, you should be, like, if Mengxi's never seen, we don't know the last time she saw her parents. Can you just let her have 100 days with her parents? I know it's a lot. I'm not saying by day 40, you'll be like, oh God.
Well, and it's also, he's not annoyed that they're speaking Chinese in front of him because he feels left out. He's afraid they're talking about him.
And that's the thing. She can't have any allies.
This
goes against the whole, you know, the abuser 101, we have to isolate them.
Yes.
Her parents are living with them for 100 days.
Totally.
That plan goes to shit, the whole isolation plan. Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes, yes.
So we don't know why, but Mengxi's father goes back to China before the 100 days are up.
He's me. He's like, I'm out of here. This is too much. I'm going home.
Yeah. Once the man is out of the picture, Joe gets even worse.
Because now we're going to learn about the cutting board incident.
The lawyer's like, I call this the cutting board incident. Mengxi's mother, like you were saying before, is making these amazing, like, authentic dumplings for Joe's stupid birthday.
Exactly.
Okay? Joe throws a fit because he doesn't like how she's using the cutting board.
And he says the cutting board doesn't like it.
Throw the whole guy out. He is the worst.
It really
is. Don't do that. The cutting board doesn't like
it. No.
This person's insane.
Insane. I remember when I was growing up and I worked at that kitchen in the Red Jacket Inn. It's in my book. You can read it if you want.
Okay.
I will say that the head chef was very big on the way that we treated the knives. Like, there was a lot of, like, you must respect the knife. Like, if you respect the knife will respect you.
Yes. And as so, someone, like, who sliced my own tip of my finger off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, my God. No, me too. But, like, this is not what that is. This is just, like, Joe exerting control. The cutting board incident, they call it.
The cutting board incident. And don't do that. The cutting board doesn't like it. It's like, just take the most authentic, delicious dumplings you've ever had. Shut up.
And shut up, Joe.
So he ends up banning Mengxi's mother from their house.
Yeah, and this is when we hear him say to her,
what the is the matter with you? Brainless.
He told her that she was incapable because she was a woman.
You think you're so empowered because of this society. You're still just a woman.
It was a calculated effort on his part to gaslight her, to try to brainwash her, to bring her under his control.
You're still just a woman.
They're saying, Mengxi's like, you're not a god. And he's like, I am a fucking god. And it's like, oh, we have now crossed yet another threshold there.
I just, like, the way, I know that I'm sounding so naive here. He just looks like that crunchy granola, like, outdoor backpacker.
Takes all kinds, girl.
I know. He looks so not scary or not threatening. But then you hear him in these voice memos, and it is terrifying.
I mean, we've done this a million times.
Yeah.
He calls her brainless. He's essentially calling her a dumb woman.
He's
society made you think you have power, but you're still just a woman. Joe, I swear, get out of my face.
He talks about how he conquers nature by breaking its neck, and they're talking about how, like, that's a veiled threat to Mengxi.
He's basically explaining that he wants to kill her.
Exactly.
So Mengxi is desperate, and she calls Joe's mother, Jean.
Yeah.
So Jean, the mother-in-law who doesn't season her food.
Yes, of course. Oh my God. Talk about Caesar salads. Like, no croutons.
But Caesar salads can be delicious.
They
it's
are
so
delicious.
Flavorful.
Yes.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
Anchovies or no anchovies?
No, never.
Zero, right?
I've never eaten an anchovy in my life. I never will.
Oh my God.
Do you like anchovies?
No, I hate them.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about anchovies is that scene in The Burbs where Tom Hanks also can't do it and Carrie Fisher makes him eat it and he has a sneezing fit. It's the best.
I'm telling you, they're like dead fish that come in a can. What?
Yeah, it's real bad. And sometimes, I know that sometimes, I don't want to ruin it for my Caesar salad people,
yeah.
But sometimes it's like minuscule, like chopped
sure.
up in the dressing.
If I can't see it, then fine.
But if sometimes it's like, oh, do you want just like full anchovies? On top of your Caesar,
I won't
hard
eat
no.
the salad. If I say no anchovies and it comes on top, I will not bother the server with it because yeah. it's a me thing. But like,
will if you it, eat around it?
No, if it comes on and I've asked for it, not I just won't eat the salad.
Oh,
I just can't. Like, it's too disgusting.
I love Caesar salad so much, I would like work around it.
I know,
somehow.
I love a Caesar
if they're
salad
not chopped,
because
sometimes they're just the full pieces.
Yeah.
We're talking too much about anchovies.
Do you know where Caesar salads were invented?
Yes, I do.
Where?
Tijuana.
Yes, you're right. Ding, 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 ding. Hear a bell for you.
Thank you. I've been to that restaurant. They made a Caesar salad.
You have? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Table side. I just said side table four times. I meant table side.
So we hear Jean. A recording of the mother, Jean.
I'm not here to choose sides. I'm here to try to be neutral and just give advice.
Even in his mom's presence, Joe was not shy about expressing hateful, even violent thoughts about his mother-in-law.
Do I just smack her? Do I just beat her down?
You wanted to.
I have that craving. Yes.
You can't.
I'm not
going
to, though.
Go there.
She drove 2 hours to mediate this fight.
But to not take any sides.
Not, take sides.
not stand Jean. Up for your daughter-in-law who's being abused by your piece of shit son. Also, you raised a mm-hmm. boy to tell his wife that she's just a woman.
Yeah.
Jean.
And then threatening her with
yes.
violence. Like, what a piece of shit. But she's like, I'm not taking sides. I'm just here to help. I'm here to be neutral. There's no neutral
There's
here.
No
like,
neutral.
Mengxi called you for help.
Yes.
You can't show up and be like, I'm not helping. I'm actively not helping because my baby boy is really going through it.
We are told in this section that Joe was making his mother-in-law kneel and bow to him. Is that real or is that like a metaphor?
No. So Joe admits that he wants to be violent towards his mother-in-law.
Yes.
He goes, I have that craving. Jean is like, yeah, no, let's not do that. Ooh,
because
someone's recording this.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
know who, but
yes.
someone's recording it. And this piece of shit was making his mother-in-law bow down to him, which is an insult to her and her culture. So she's using her culture against her.
Do we literally mean bow or that's like hyperbole?
I think he's making her bow to him.
Like, what the fuck? Jean,
yeah.
what you raised this kid. You
yeah.
raised this person. How did this happen?
So I don't know what happens, but Joe eventually apologizes, but yet still forces Mengxi's mother to leave before the 100 days is up.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know why the dad went back to China early.
No.
But he went before her mom did.
And Yao Li, the interpreter, who's also an attorney, says that the mom believed the apology was sincere and that things were going to get better or else she never would have left. I think that's an important point.
Yeah, I think she and Mengxi were kind of like, okay, like,
what do we do?
Yeah, and I think it's okay, and I'm sure his mom was trying to help with that, and
yeah.
like, this is a fresh start, and we'll, like, you know, all marriage has trouble, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But also, like, she is trapped. Mengxi is trapped. She has a little baby. She's
yep.
dealing with this green card situation. It's all a mess. He has her trapped, and he knows it.
I wondered, now that the baby is born, would she still be denied a green card if she left him?
I don't know.
Like, that just, I mean, I'm sorry. Mengxi cannot be the only person who's ever
of
lived.
Of course
like,
not.
This is terrible.
It's terrible.
That cannot be the way that the system is set up.
No.
I could be totally wrong, but my God, that is heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. So she's now been missing for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The police formally open a criminal investigation about her disappearance. And the very same day, they arrest Joe, but it's not about Mengxi's disappearance.
But on suspicion that he had physically abused their daughter.
We have become aware that there was some bruising. So do you know what we're talking about?
Yep.
And this is through Kay Ren, her mother. Mengxi had told her that she'd observed bruising on the buttocks.
Mengxi had seen bruising on their daughter's buttocks.
Yeah.
He's like spanking her to the point of bruising.
And Joe's like, well, you know, she wouldn't stop crying, so I just like pinched her on the butt.
She wouldn't stop. Are you kidding me?
Now, let me tell you, I'm not a mother.
No.
But
famously.
Famously. And I'm just saying, though, I don't think pinching a baby is going to make them stop crying. Am I crazy?
No. He also didn't pinch her. He fucking beat this baby.
Right. But the excuse is more bullshit.
Exactly.
Oh, they were crying, so I pinched them, which is something only meant to hurt you.
No.
On her butt, and that's what happened. Give me a fucking
break. And I gotta tell you, I'm really glad the cops are arresting him over this, because this doesn't always happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Joe's lawyer's like, well, I think this is all a ruse to get Joe arrested. You know what? Maybe it was.
Great.
Who cares?
Who cares?
And today, in this case, I say who cares.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm like, no. But in this case with Joe, fuck it. Haul him
get
in.
Him off the street.
And he's not gonna bring a lawyer anyway.
Exactly.
Let's get him.
Travel. Girl, Lola V is back. You've been raving about it since we got in the booth. Tell me everything.
Well, it's the award-winning hair care line founded by the one, the only, the fantastic Jennifer Aniston. Like, her hair is iconic.
Shit, the Rachel?
People still go into hair salons and they're like, I want Jennifer Aniston's hair. Guess what, everyone? Now you can have it.
Well, tell me what you like about it. You were saying you love how it smells.
It smells like a spa, but like citrusy, which to me, like citrus always sort of makes you feel like energized too. It's just sort of makes you feel like ready for the day.
Well, the thing is, they're all about naturally derived plant-based goodness. So no silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, I mean, you would not be here if they weren't cruelty-free and vegan.
Yeah, so let me tell you about this in-shower trio, okay? We got the restorative shampoo and conditioner, plus the intensive repair treatment to turn your shower experience into like the spa-like retreat. So post-shower, they have the glossing detangler, then perfecting leave-in, this leave-in treatment, again, smells amazing, and lightweight hair oil. So we're not weighing our hair down, we're cleaning it, we're repairing it, and we're making it nice and smooth and amazing, and no one's getting hurt.
I mean, your hair really does look great.
Thank you.
So fam, unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com.
As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code TCO at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code TCO.
And please note, sorry to get serious, but you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
Yeah. After you purchase, fam, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. By name, say TCO.
Yeah. I mean, Jennifer Aniston approved hair. Then when you meet her, you could be like, Jen, you love this.
I know.
You approved my hair. We're friends now.
So Joe has held on a $500,000 bond. His mother takes custody of the daughter. I was like, well, I don't know that that's any better.
I know. We'll get to... The daughter's okay, by the way. In the end of this thing, their little baby's okay.
Yeah. And Dan, the prosecutor, like, sets off to prove his theory that something horribly violent happened to Mungshi. He said he knew this would eventually develop into a murder case.
So it's October 25th, 2019, and the police execute a search warrant at the apartment. And this is the same day he was arrested over suspicions of child abuse. So, like, he's not home.
They find his backpack, in which they find a notebook.
Notes Joe had apparently written to himself about how to respond to questions from reporters and investigators.
One of those I labeled as being a script with what to tell the police. Another thing that he had written was that he was to speak about Mungshi in the present tense rather than the past tense.
He's like writing a script for himself.
And his name is on the cover of the book.
Yeah.
Like, Joe's secret notebook.
Right. Joe's like how to get away with murder notebook.
Yeah. And I quote,
yeah,
always refer to Mungshi in the present tense.
He needs to write a note to himself to remember to refer to her in the present tense because he fucking killed her.
And then we see him on the news doing exactly that.
Yes.
And it's like, it's really unbelievable.
I wonder what I would, like, obviously I'm never going to kill anybody. But I'm like, if I were to kill somebody, are they automatically in the past tense to me?
My question is this too, like, if someone you know is missing and it is becoming apparent that they're not coming back and you are sort of starting the grieving of saying like, she was awesome and now I'm never going to see her again.
Yes.
Like, is that, I don't know if I wouldn't say that.
I know.
Like if something happened to someone and it was becoming clearer as time goes on that like, I'm not going to see her again.
It's a case by case because we've seen this a lot where sometimes it's the thing that gives the person away.
Right.
And then other times you're like, no, I think they just misspoke.
Or I think it's totally normal to be like, I know she's not coming back. I know she's not here anymore. I want to find out who fucking killed her or I hate the boyfriend or the husband or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would always be present tense forever.
You know what is a dead giveaway? Having to write a note to yourself yourself to speak about her in the present tense.
Yeah.
Joe, you fucking idiot.
Keep
it up.
But it gets worse/better because the cops search the entire apartment and they find this pair of muddy boots. And they're like, you know what? Just in case.
Listen, they want to play it off like, we're just going to, you know what? On second thought, why don't you grab those boots? You have a man whose wife has been missing for 2 weeks. He did not report her missing for 6 days.
Yeah.
We know that after she went missing, he drove around looking for trails
when
for several hours.
When no one else knew she was missing, exactly. He was the only one.
Go ahead and collect those boots. Those are going to be pretty strong evidence, I think.
So yeah, let's take them just
also,
in case.
Joe, you're like the one from the college dorm one when like you kept the receipt proving that you weren't where you said you were.
I know.
What is wrong with these people?
So then, in a very bold move, Dan, the prosecutor, charges the husband with murder in the first degree. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a lead, but here we are. And the charges were filed while Joe was still in jail on the abuse charges.
Yes.
Also, side note, this prosecutor sounds like Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Great call, GP.
If you close your eyes, a little bit.
I don't.
Just saying. So Dan, the prosecutor, is trying to put this case together, and he needs to find Mungshi's body.
Yeah. So they look at Joe's cell phone records, and the cell phone records show that Joe spent 30 minutes near the Lamini River on the day he claimed Mungshi disappeared.
And he didn't tell police that.
Right.
Convinced her body was here, authorities searched for months. There was even a memorial on the river, attended by Mungshi's mother.
By March of 2020, we had really given up. We needed to do something to be able to say goodbye.
Her family had a memorial site there. They were like, this has to be it. 30 minutes, he lied about that. Like, it has to be here, right?
A year passes.
Yeah. Joe is awaiting trial, and a hiker has entered the chat.
Whenever an unnamed hiker enters the chat, I'm always like, no.
Fuck. So they're hiking in a wooded area, and this is where I'm like, oh, no.
I know.
It happens to be the same place where Joe proposed to Mungshi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. And this guy notices a purse in the woods. Then he notices shoes. Then he sees a skull, and this is Mungshi's skull.
Yes.
And like, you motherfucker, where you proposed to her.
I know.
So like, you're still holding on to that moment that you had with her those
it's
years ago.
It's all calculated. It's like, all, like, that's why it's all personal. When we're going to find out what he did to her, basically,
I
mean, this was all, this guy, I mean, what a sick
what
fuck
a sick
this
fuck.
Guy. So Yao Li, remember, she's the attorney and the interpreter. She has a video conference with Mungshi's parents back in China, and she tells them the news, and she says they didn't say anything. All you could see was the tears.
Yeah, they're just devastated.
You know, remember, they only wanted to have one kid because they wanted to give her all the time and the attention and the love, and now she's dead.
Yeah. And she was like one of those like the bright shining stars who was so smart and she was doing it. Like she was doing it.
I just can't imagine.
No.
I mean, but I do imagine all the time what would happen if I got this news about Daisy someday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you. I don't know how you ever recover from that.
Right. And like, we still don't know what happened to Mungshi.
Right.
The medical examiner's office doesn't even know what happened.
They can't determine how she died, but we see that four ribs were broken all the way through.
Yeah.
Do you believe that those broken ribs are evidence of physical abuse, of a physical attack?
Of a massive, catastrophic blow to her back. All the way, these through and through breaks, that she would have been in agonizing pain.
She would have been in agonizing, excruciating pain.
So we're going to put some things together and get the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen now. So the day that Mungshi was reported missing, the killer's cell phone records place him near where Mungshi's body was found. And this is where those freaking muddy boots come in.
Yes.
So it was really muddy and rainy, much a day like today in New York City.
A day like today, yes.
The day that Mungshi was reported missing, and Dan the prosecutor's like, bad for Joe, good for justice. This idiot didn't think to clean or get rid of those boots. Just get rid of them.
What is wrong?
Please don't.
I know.
You're taking
the time to write notes to yourself to remember to speak about her in the present tense, but you keep the fucking muddy boots in the fucking crime scene. You idiot.
So they send the, remember how this episode is called The Tree That Solved a Murder?
Yes.
They send the mud and the gravel and the dirt from the boots for analysis. And then they send out the pieces of the foliage from the crime scene.
But they sent it to a lab at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Who knew that botanical gardens had crime labs?
Well, Christine Edwards is here.
Yes.
She's a plant population geneticist.
To
She's,
which I said, just another great example of how you can be anything you want. You fucking
yes,
did it, Christine.
You did it, Christine.
Yes.
And another like badass geneticist and like genealogist. I love it so much. So I know genealogists and geneticists are two different things. I'm just saying.
But so, news to me. So thank you, girl.
So she, Christine explains, like she explains something where I'm like, no, I knew that. But when she says it, you're like, oh, of course.
Yep.
Plants have DNA. Just like people.
Absolutely, yeah. Every organism, every living organism on the planet has DNA. And they wanted to see if there was some way that we could match the vegetation in the boots to the site where a woman's remains were found.
No, I'm the idiot. I learned so much in this section. I knew nothing. Plants, trees all have DNA. What?
Every living organism on the planet has DNA, so everything can be tested and matched.
But, like, I really didn't know that. You knew that?
When she puts it, and I'm like, right. Oh, I get, yeah, I just didn't know it in that way.
I know, because, like, you don't need to solve tree murders.
But,
you know what I mean?
Christine did not think she'd be solving a crime today, but, like, that's showbiz, baby. That's the unpredictable life of a plant population geneticist. You never know what you're going to do. And she's like, okay, because she's working at the botanical gardens.
Do you think her business card says, like, plant population geneticist?
It
That's
should.
A mouthful for a cocktail party, Christine. Explain your job in one sentence or less.
She's the one, suddenly a crowd is forming. Oh, and her friends are like, oh, Christine's talking about what she does.
Totally.
Plant DNA. It's so cool.
Plant DNA.
It's the coolest
thing. My God.
So she's very.
I love how worked up you get about science.
I
it's
love
one of my
it.
Favorite things about you.
I love
you.
It so much. And she just says, like, to her, like, she wasn't expecting that this was going to be her job today.
Yeah.
But to her, it's just like, oh, she knows how the science works and she knows what she needs to do.
Yes.
So she finds a match and she's like, we got him.
Yes.
And it's very, it's a little, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's a little anticlimactic, only in the sense where she's like, right, 2 + 2 = 4.
Well,
like, it makes total sense in her scientific
they're
mind.
They're explaining it to everybody like they need to be explaining it to me, which is that they're trying to match the DNA from, like, the roughage they found on his boots
right.
to the roughage at the crime scene.
Right.
You know, am I using the wrong word? Roughage? Is that a word?
It is, right?
I mean, roughage is like
but the foliage is like the trees.
They're trying to match the DNA on the, like, the leaves and pine needles on his boots to the DNA and the pine needles at the crime scene to prove that he was there.
Once we knew that we could get usable DNA out of the forensic samples that we took from the boots, then we needed to match them to the trees at the site.
And back at the lab, they were compared to the needles found on Joe's boots.
And as you can see, the lines match up.
And Christine's like, we got the son of a bitch. There is no doubt he was there. And she's like, it might as well be his fingerprint.
Exactly.
Like, it's the tree solved a murder. Christine, too.
Because they're saying the DNA match is just as reliable as a blood DNA match would be, like, if presented in court in a murder scene. Because the DNA for the tree where Mungshi was buried, no other tree has that DNA.
Yes.
So, like, when they found the DNA from that tree and the pine needles on his boots, they proved that he was at the murder scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the burial scene.
It is the coolest thing.
It's very cool.
Because then, even
I just explained it again.
Oh, you did. We can't explain it anymore. So, because 48 hours is like, this may be the first time this has happened. And I'm like, certainly not the last. We need to be
it's
doing
actually,
this all
according
the time.
According to the prosecutor, it's the second time he knows of.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's keep it up.
Yeah.
Travel down the road and back again.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. I got to tell you, I am a huge fan. I just linked another account. I linked my Amex. So, fam, if you don't know, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. So I told Steve I wanted a big boy credit card that he wasn't managing, so I got myself an Amex, but then I did that thing that everybody does where you sign up for things and don't cancel.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's time to apply my Rocket Money. It found 7 subscriptions that I canceled right away.
Great, because here's what happens, though.
Yeah.
They make it hard for you to unsubscribe.
Yes.
You know, they make it a little tricky. So Rocket Money does all of that. They'll even try to, like, negotiate you to get, like, a lower rate. Like, they are totally working on your behalf. And they know all the tricks to unsubscribe to things.
Let me tell you, one of the things they said they couldn't unsubscribe for me, and they basically tell you it's because, like, they've made it, like, intentionally too difficult, but they told me all the things I had to do. They gave me, like, a step-by-step of what I needed to do to go unsubscribe myself.
Yeah.
And they're basically like, if we could, we would, but they won't let us.
Right. Look, Rocket Money, but they won't let us. You know what?
They won't let us.
I'm over it.
I know.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when you're using all of the app's features.
I gotta tell you, when Rocket Money occurred to me again, I'm like, I gotta do this right away. I could not do it fast enough. I'm obsessed with Rocket Money. Fam, stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed. And when they successfully unsubscribe, they send you an email and it's like a celebration.
They give you little mouth horns. Oh my God, the best. So So November 1st, 2021, the murderer is on trial for murder.
Yes.
The killer's on trial for murder. And now, out of the clear blue sky, his lawyer has a totally different story.
Right, because remember how he said he didn't kill her?
It used to be that Meng Shi ran away to be with some guy in China, and Joe went on the news to wish her all the best.
And he's like, my bad, my bad, my bad. Did I kill her? Absolutely, of course I did.
It's a tragic accident.
Thing is, tragic accident. Wait till you hear how it happens.
Because, everyone, the tree evidence means that the runaway theory can't work anymore.
No.
The fucking tree.
Right.
I can't believe it.
So the defense attorney goes back to the night Meng Shi died, October 8th, 2019. He says that evening, Joe, the son of a bitch, offered Meng Shi a massage. He tries to initiate sex. She rebuffs him. He gets all upset because he just wants to be close to his wife and he wants to go out for a walk with his daughter.
And then he confronts her about the online affair.
And
I'm like, really? After trying to have sex? Okay.
I know. What? But the story is,
he's upset. He's hurt. And he wants to take his daughter for a walk. She lunges towards him and pushes him, and he pushes her. Pushes her into the countertop.
Joe claims that's when Meng Shi broke her ribs.
And she falls into a countertop where she bangs her head.
Well, first, she falls into the countertop, and that's when she broke her ribs.
Yes.
Then she gets up and lunges at him yet again with broken ribs.
Yes.
He pushes her back. She falls and hits her head. She gets up and goes to bed.
Right.
Joe, and your stupid lawyer. Are you kidding me?
I know. Now, like, we'll get to this in a second, but, like, they're saying she had four broken ribs, not just one.
Yeah.
One broken rib would be so excruciating, you couldn't do anything but get in an ambulance and go to the hospital.
Right. Let alone get up, shove him again, and then take yourself to bed.
And then go to bed. Now, the pathologist who conducted the autopsy takes the stand and says this is possible.
Oh, God.
He says it's possible that she could have broken her ribs based on being shoved into something.
Okay.
I know. I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but what did the tree say? Can we get the tree on stand?
Exactly.
Have the stand to testify?
No, and Joe's attorney is like, we stand by the story 100%. She came after him. She wanted to prevent him from leaving with the daughter. This is not what happened.
It's not what happened.
No.
And so the next morning, Meng Shi didn't wake up, and Joe was violently shaking her.
Yes.
And realized she's dead, and then Joe just started lying for all this time because he was scared. Like, whatever.
So he, like, let's just really talk this through. He's so scared of what we're not sure that he, rather than just calling the police or calling an ambulance or anything, he puts Meng Shi's body in the trunk, straps their brand new daughter into her car seat in the back seat, and drives around for hours trying to find a place to bury the body, and then lands on the place where he proposed to his wife 2 years before.
And then lies to everyone about it, about this mystery guy, who may or may not exist.
Parents suffer. And also, like, smears her name that she ran away with some other guy, abandoned her kid. Like, what a piece
of shit. Yeah, and then, like, the plan was that their little baby was going to grow up thinking that her mother left her.
Exactly.
Like, cool story, bro.
And this is where the prosecutor said, like, the only evidence I need to point to that this story is a lie is, like, the amount of pain she would have been in with one broken rib, let alone four. There's no way she went to bed.
Right. And Dan, the prosecutor, is like, look, Joe hated his wife.
Right.
We heard him say it for hours and hours and hours on that audio. He planned this for a while. They were both miserable. They were both angry.
They were both secretly recording each other, yelling at each other.
But the difference is that Meng Shi was trapped. Like, Joe was trapping her.
Exactly.
And so,
isolating her, telling her not to take that amazing job.
Yeah. And he's like, Dan, the prosecutor, is like, I think the truth starts with the massage.
Yes.
Knight says he keeps going back to Joe's story about giving Meng Shi a massage that night and believes that's when he killed her.
I don't know if he put his hands around her neck and he strangled the life out of her. I don't know if he maybe forced her face into a pillow. But I know one thing for sure. That murder was horrific.
And the massage ended up with Joe strangling Meng Shi, and also those fucking four broken ribs are pretty damning.
I mean,
to Joe.
I don't mean to be gruesome here, but I think Dan, the prosecutor, believes Joe stomped on her back.
Jesus Christ.
I know, but, like, that's what he believes. Yeah. Like, that's what a brutal psychotic killer Joe actually is.
And Joe, someone who just endlessly makes really good decisions, takes the stand in his own defense.
I just wrote, yay!
Perfect. I love it. Amazing. And just lies, right? Like, sure, there was tension, but I really loved her and we'd always make up. He's still painting Meng Shi as the aggressor.
He says she would raise her voice, she would yell, she wouldn't listen to me very well.
Joe.
He doesn't even know enough to not say that.
To not say that. But Joe, I heard you.
Yeah.
There's audio. You're screaming at her, you're calling her names, you're being awful, you're threatening her.
Yes.
And yet you're going to be on the stand and be like, she's the aggressor.
And she just didn't listen.
Really?
She just didn't listen.
Really?
I know.
Joe, like, fuck you.
And then also we learn that Yao Li and Amy Saliday, the attorneys for the parents, are there every day. They have to text Meng Shi's mother because she wasn't able to to travel. Yeah. She didn't be there for this murder trial.
Yeah, 2021 too. And so I don't know how old they are, if traveling is difficult, but it's, yeah, it sucks. So the killer's lawyer wants manslaughter. Dan, the prosecutor, wants first degree murder.
Neither one of them get their wish.
Right. November 11th, 2021.
After deliberating for nearly 7 hours, the jury had its verdict.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Joseph Dwayne Elledge, guilty of murder in the second degree.
Guilty of second degree murder. The jury believed that Joe killed Mengxi, but not with premeditation.
They believed he killed her, but that it wasn't as premeditated as the prosecutor wanted them to believe.
Yeah, because premeditated would be first-degree murder, but, like, accidental would be manslaughter, so I'm not really sure. I mean,
they tried to meet directly in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the jury tried to do.
Yeah.
And so now they have to figure out sentencing. So
It the same day. They figure out sentencing, like, that night. The jury gets the case again at midnight.
Yeah. The defense wants 10 years. The prosecution wants life. So,
yes,
again, the jury's going to try to meet in the middle.
This all happens in the same day. He gets convicted. Now they're on the penalty phase. They bring in, like, a whole bunch of Mengxi's friends to talk about how amazing she was and the impact of her death on not just them, but also her daughter.
Yeah, of course.
The only person who speaks in Joe's defense is his stupid mother.
Is she here to help this time or stay neutral?
I mean, oh my God.
Come on,
like,
Jean.
You did this. You raised this kid.
And it's just, the thing is, like, she's not here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she was in the house.
Yes.
You know, and she was called for help and she didn't help.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I can't really deal with that.
No. So the jury gets the case again at midnight that night. I'm like, oh my God, if I'm at the jury, I'm like, can we just do this in the morning?
No, let's get this.
Get it done.
You know?
So Joe gets 28 years and prosecutor Dan believes that the jury gave him 1 year for every year of Mengxi's young life.
Yeah. And so in December of 2022,
Mengxi's parents and Joe's mother reached an agreement. The child will spend her summers in China and the rest of the year with Jean. Scott Rosenblum says she is in good hands.
Dan, the prosecutor, is like, I have to tell you, like, Joe's parents are kind of great about this. Like, they're in touch with Mengxi's parents all the time. Everyone is involved in this child's life.
I'm glad to hear that, but I'm like, if I'm Mengxi's parents and you're the parents of the person who killed my only kid.
And then you're not seeing her for months at a time.
And you only get her for the summer. And you know that, like, I'm sorry, I've got a 10-year-old. Like, my kid wouldn't want to go away for the entire summer. She's got friends and a life. Like,
yeah, I don't know how long that's going to last.
I know.
In her life, like, when she starts having, like, real solid, deep friendships. Like, when she's 16, is she going to...
Oh, I mean, when she's...
I don't know.
Daisy wouldn't want to go away for the whole summer now. There's no way we could get her to do that. It's just so sad. It's like this... Like, we always talk about this. When the father kills the mother, mm-hmm. you know that you're going to get busted. You're taking both parents away from kid. It's just a really sad life. And this is where the prosecutor says to us, as the daughter grows up, she's going to learn that she was in the apartment when Joe killed her mother. Someday she's going to learn that. She's also going to learn that Joe drove around the next day with her mother in the trunk and the baby in the back seat looking for a place to drop the body.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're just trying to make the point where, like, it's not one of those situations where the families hate each other.
No, and that's good, of course.
At least there's some kind of... I mean, what we're just grasping at straws here, honestly.
I know.
And it ends with...
I want her to be remembered for her smile and how friendly and outgoing she was.
Mengxi Ji's legacy of accomplishment, dedication, and love lives on in her baby girl and in the hearts of those whose lives she touched.
Everybody loved her, and it's another fucking tragedy because a fragile white man couldn't handle it.
Yes.
And it ends with on-screen text, if you or someone you know is a victim of domestic abuse, call 1-800-799-SAFE or visit thehotline.org.
Oh, girl, we did. What's it called?
The tree that helped solve a murder on 48 hours.
So interesting. Trees and plants and everything has DNA. Animals have DNA. Like, which I guess we knew that.
Stay stupid, everybody.
I know.
Like, we're going to get you, you son of a bitch.
You look me right in the eyes.
Not on Christine's watch. On these, like, brilliant science women.
I know.
They're not going to fucking stand for
it. Absolutely not, brilliant science women. Fam, join the Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. Go find it. Go join. Yeah. It's so fun in there.
We're having fun in there.
What are we doing next, girl?
A lot. So this is Thursday, right?
Yes.
So tomorrow, the third and last episode of Lost Women of Highway 20 is coming out on our Patreon.
Yeah.
And then right after that, we're doing Natalia Gray season 2. Then Tuesday's regular ep is Last Stop Larima.
Oh my
Larima.
God.
We're going to Australia. And then the next bonus ep is episode of 2020 called This Is Revenge, which is like a love triangle in Lubbock, Texas.
Ooh.
Lubbock, Texas of all places.
Lubbock, Texas. That's where the chicks are from.
I know.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, fam. So stay tuned for the trailer for which one?
For the regular ep, I guess?
Yeah.
For Last Stop Larima.
Okay, great. Stay tuned for the trailer for that and then our funny and hilarious outtakes.
Oh, boy.
And we love you.
We love you. We'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Last time I saw Patty was December the 16th.
So you just lied to Fox and off he went.
The next day I did go looking for him.
He wasn't there.
There was no sign of any disturbance.
There was a very eerie feeling.
Everyone in Larimer was a suspect.
What's your relationship with Patty?
Did you knock Patty off?
Where's Patty's body?
Do you know what happened? Are you involved?
I don't know nothing.
Patty Roth, definitely not an angel.
Really?
What happened with Patty? That's been on the agenda for a long time.
Perhaps Patty was murdered and put into some pies.
What's stopping Barry from feeding to the crocodile? That's why the crocodile's fat.
There was utter hatred in this town.
Right.
Am I over-explaining it now?
A little bit, okay. Yeah. Because Christine's
no,
like...
you guys don't understand. What they're trying to do is they're trying to
DNA.
Prove that he was in the woods at the crime scene. I mean, can you say this mother in the way that you say it?
This mother?
No, you said that one time I just heard you say it in my ears. You went, this mother.
This mother, Jean.